You got to follow the commands of the commander. A commander in chief. A commander that's going to say, this is what we're going to do. And the best commanders are the commanders that says, and you trust with all your heart. You don't question them, but especially in combat area. And you trust them to do the right thing and to make sure that they do all they can to keep you from getting killed. And in the process, we, the warriors, will stand the ground for those who are not there, who can't take care of themselves. But the great commander is the one that you listen to. I have one. His name is Jesus. And the great commander, when he calls you to preach, he calls you to teach, he calls you just to do whatever it is that you're doing, listen to him. There's a reason that we are to be lovable. Difficult sometime, isn't it, men? You know, you need to be a little more lovable, Larry. I'm lovable. You know, it's good as it gets. Think of it. We, those who have friends, must be friendly. That's common sense. Well, when it comes to life, wouldn't common sense tell you and me that let's get connected with the one who began it all, who formed it all, and especially the one who formed you as an individual? God did not make any mistakes in you. You are who you're supposed to be. And continuing to be able to be blessed by the God, your creator. And Jesus wanted to seal you, not just sealing your salvation in him, through him, and with him, because you're going to be living with him throughout eternity. And you don't have to wait to start living for Jesus. Do it right here, right now. Jesus said, I will be with you always. I will never turn my back on you. That means when you turn your back on Jesus, hang on. He's still going to be with you. You know, Lord, I got to go somewhere today, but you don't have any business there. So you stay right here, and I'll see you when I get back. No. He's going to talk to you the whole way. You go through the door, he's going with you. So remember, pay attention where you're taking Jesus. Pay attention to your life. Pay attention to your love, the love that's in your heart. Make sure that you always replenish it. Replenishing and strengthening that love. Because folks, from the time you get up to the time you go back to sleep, and even during that time, you're in a war zone. He is the commander of us, the individual, in a war zone. And that war zone is continual. It's called a war of life. That war that you're in, called life, is hell. Well, you know, today, everything just fine today. And yet, you know, have you noticed how we are, all of us? You know, it's a beautiful day. Sun shining. Yeah, it's going to rain tomorrow. You know, everything is going so good in the family. Yeah, but you know, Uncle Joe, there's no telling what's going to happen as soon as we all get together. Ever been around folk, I know you have, that no matter what positive is going on, that they are going to tell you the negative. You know, you're alive today, yeah, but you could die the next second. You know, it's always that kind of personality. But you can be that personality yourself. Each one of us can. Because that's part of the war that you and I are involved with on a daily basis. God says, pay attention to life, your life, and make sure that while you're paying attention, you care about everybody else's life, because you're in a war zone, the wars of life. Follow the command of your commander. Listen to him. Command number one. You are commanded to love each other. Again, I've told you all for 30 years now. You don't have to like me, but God orders you to love me. You are commanded by God to love each other. John 15, verse 13 and 14, and then verse 17. Listen to this. Greater love has no one than this. Listen to what Jesus says. That he laid down his life for his friends. And then he says, you are my friends if you do what I command. And every time somebody reads that, they say, well, I can't keep the Ten Commandments. That's why Jesus came, because we can't keep them. Man couldn't keep them. It took Christ himself, God incarnate, to close out, fulfill the beginning of our salvation. Jesus came to put a cap on the war that you and I are involved in, called life. So as he comes, he says, now all you got to do is keep my commands. And then we think about the Old Testament and all this other. No. So he doesn't want you to get messed up on this. So then he says in verse 17, this is my command. Love each other. And in that command, love each other, is all the laws of God, all the do's and the don'ts. Christianity is not a do and a don't. Christianity is a person. His name is Jesus. Christianity is already done. Say yes to me. But to show that you've said yes to me, express love. God's love. Just the way he loves me. He loves me when I'm right. He loves me when I'm wrong. But his love supersedes just saying, attaboy. His love goes to, Larry, I called you to do a ministry. You can't quit. Did you know that a call from God is irrevocable? The scripture says it's irrevocable. Well, Lord, I've done this long enough. You know what long enough is? When you all walk around up here and see me in that casket. Randy's praying that somebody didn't put a spring on my back and make me pop up. You can't imagine after this many years the threats that have been made. Think of it. But God says, then you're coming with me. For what? Continued work. You and I, we're a part of an army, the army of God. Our purpose, our job does not end when this human body ceases to function. Actually, it's only a short period of time. Remember that we're stuck in this mess. But for the rest of eternity, we have the freedom, the full power of the right hand of God. And we will be about our Father's business. What does that mean, Brother Larry? I have no idea. But I do know this. We will continue to serve the Lord. No more crying. No more cancers. No more pain. No more brokenness. No more lies. No more nation threatening another nation. We will be in God's kingdom with our commander, with the one who begins it all. And you know what he said? There will never be an end to my creation. But you can be a part of its continuation. Say yes to my son, and I welcome you into my family. What a family! What a group of warriors! You see, it doesn't matter to me where he's going to send us in his creation. What we're going to be doing, what matters to me is I'm in the right army, and it's victory in Jesus continually. Command number two. You are commanded to hate evil and cling to good. God says, hate evil. Well, you know, hate's such a strong word. Yeah, look what it's done to the people that you know. Hate. I've watched people that deal with so much hatred in their life. And I mean, they've given their heart to Christ. You know, and you look at them and you listen to them, but they have so much disdain for their fellow man, so much hatred. And for them, rightfully so, you don't know what I had to go through. No, I don't. But I do know. I read the book, what Jesus went through. And right there in the middle of the dying process, the human condition, my Lord, who had just had him do all manner of evil against him, put that crown of thorns on his head, beat it into his head, beat him, and whip him to the point that no human would be able to stand it. But he had your name on his heart, and he did it to conquer all that went on with you. I have no complaints. I tell you all the story of my younger life for you to understand you're not in it alone. All of us have our stories. But you see, I'm not complaining. I know Jesus. I'm a part of the army that's already won. I mean, what do I have to fuss about? What do I have to moan and groan about? I'm already a winner. It's not based on your income, your standing in a community. It's based on the love that our Savior has for you individually. And he saved you. And he says, now, we got to finish this life thing. We got to finish it up. We got to go across the victory line. Victory's already been won. I don't have to win a race. The race for me was won by Jesus. He's already won it. He said, Larry, just get across the line. I can crawl across the line. You may have to carry me across the line, but I'm going across the line. Because Jesus says, there's victory in me. You follow me. That's a command. But I want you to hate that which is evil. And you cling to that which is good. And he says, I'll show you the difference. Well, where do I find it? In my mind? Oh, no. Our minds are so messed up, aren't they? You know, it's amazing how many different directions your thinking process will go. You know, Lord, I'm going to have some prayer time with you. And you got to watch it. And the older you get, you really got to be careful, because that can really get a quiet time. And you find out you just slip through your prayer time. You know, so God says, I want you to lift your voice to me. Don't do it for anybody around you. You worship me. See, a worship service is not for us to worship back and forth with each other. No, no, no. It all has to be pointed to God. We worship him. And you worship him in your heart. You worship him because you know he is the commander. You know he is your savior. You know that it didn't matter what it took. He gave his only begotten son so that you and I can have that eternal life. Follow his command. Hate the things God hates. And God said he hates sin. And the reason he hates sin is because of what it does to you and me. And he says, hate it. Reach out to me. Command number 3. You're commanded to love beyond self. Love beyond self. You know, it's okay. I can understand. Some people are in love with themselves. You remember me telling you about that fellow Marine in our barracks? Ugliest human being I believe I'd ever been around in my life. All of us wanted to hang out with him. We'd listen to him in the head as he was going. He's looking in the mirror and he's saying, man, you're good looking. And we'd all look at each other thinking, really, we're going into combat with this dude. He was fine in combat. But he was so convincing. By the time he left, all of us thought he was a good-looking man. But he had it in his heart. He had that positive type attitude. And when we would go on liberty, we wanted to go with him. Because he had convinced every female that was out there that he was good-looking. And we just wanted to be around him for those he didn't choose. I was young in those days, folks. That was the real world. But you think of that. God says to us, I command you to love beyond yourself. But I want you to love someone, love a stranger. I want you to love that stranger so much that you're going to tell him about my son. I want you to love to where you will give. I want you to love beyond who you are. Here's something difficult for us. When someone, whether it's in our family, out of our family, or just in basic community, when someone goes against what we believe, we look at them so many times as the enemy. And our God says, don't do that. You have to love beyond yourself. You love beyond. That's the power of being a Christian. Because they're anti-Christian. Folks, I was a prison chaplain for those 28 years. You know, in with the hardest core criminals in the state of Kentucky. And I remember that time. I've told you all this story too. When I told the chief of chaplains, after I got through with the guy, was so vile. But when I got through talking with him, he left, and I began to weep. And Jim Dent, the chief of chaplains, said, "What is wrong with you, Larry? I've never seen you do that." I do it a lot anymore. "I've never seen you do that." I said, "Jim, I never despised a person as much in my life as I did him. I had his jacket. I saw all the crimes he had committed. And I couldn't even finish reading some of them." He said, "So, I understand that. What's your problem?" I said, "When he got up to leave, I loved him." And I said, "What in the world is wrong with me?" And he gave me a hug and said, "You're just right, son. You're just right." It took me a while to catch on to that, and I thought, how in the world could you have that kind of mercy? It wasn't me. The old Marine Corps was about to come out in me with him just talking. That's Jesus in you and in me. That's how God wants us to be. Love beyond yourself, even though they're wrong, even though the evil that is coming out of them, you have to understand, if they don't know Jesus, how they're going to know that it's wrong. So our job, our task as a being a part of the army of God is to tell them the story. It's the story of salvation. It's the story of Jesus, for he is our salvation. Tell the story, Larry. You don't have to make a thing up. Tell the story. And in that story, they will feel my touch. You see, it's in the Word, the story, that the Holy Spirit touches the heart of those who are under conviction. If an individual doesn't come under conviction by the power of the Holy Spirit, what makes you think that you're going to put them under conviction? If the Holy Spirit touching their life, saying, "Come to me," the Holy Spirit of God, and they reject that, what do you think you can do? You can't. That's why each of us are charged. Tell the story. God's story. God's hope. God's forgiveness. God's love. Tell the story. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourself. Above yourself. Beyond yourself. Reach out and touch someone. That'd be a good advertisement. Just reach out with the love that God has given you. The last one, command number 4. You are commanded to be zealous in God's service. God did not call me to mumble. He did not call me to be quiet and calm. He knew me because he created me. And he says, "Now go, preach my word." Romans 12, 11 and 13. "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality." I was asked, and I have been over the years, by several people, "Chaplain Vance, you know me. you know, my background and all, will I be welcome to come to your church? I said, I'd be hurt if you didn't. You're welcome to come to Vine Grove Baptist Church at any time, but you're not welcome to practice the evil that is in you within that church. Come, you'll be received well, but come with a heart of love and respect for a God who has given you the opportunity. Be zealous. Be excited. Can you imagine how long I would have lasted as a prison chaplain if I went in and some of those inmates had asked me, you want to tell me about Jesus? Well, I really just can't really say too much to you, but yeah, I'll tell you about you. No. God had given me the type of personality that when they would ask, yeah, I want to tell you about Jesus. Sit down and shut up over there, and I'll tell you about it. I got some more coming. Man, he's a weird chaplain. Yep. I was a rough one. But every one of them knew I loved them and I cared. But I didn't want them to do it again. So therefore, I wanted to introduce them to the one that would change their life for eternity. That's God's word. And it don't get any better than God's word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the blessings. Father, we thank you for the hardships of life that draw us closer to you. We thank you, Father, for the brokenness within our life. We thank you, Father, for even the pain. For we know that in everything that goes on with us, there is victory through you. And you're always there. We don't even have to wait for it to show up. Because when the pain came in our direction, you already are there. Help us now to help one another. Help us to be the family that you've called us to be. For we ask it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.